Hey everybody, welcome to the Toowoomba Vineyard Church podcast. We are a brand new church here in Toowoomba, Queensland, and we are discovering the joy of following Jesus together. If you want to find out more about what we're up to, stick around at the end for the details. But in the meantime, we hope you enjoy this message.
Hello, folks. So good to be here. Can you believe we're already in December? I can't. I'm in my brain, it's still October. I don't know about you. I don't know what happened to those intervening months. But here we are. Now, so we are starting a series that's kind of leading up to Christmas. So it was wonderful. From Garden to City series was great, but that's done now. And now we are looking at one, what did we call it? Unto us is born a child, I think, or something like that. Anyway, something Christmassy, because this is the season of Advent, so we are heading into thinking about Christmas. So who's got their tree up and all their decorations? I know some people have. Yeah, a bunch of you have. It's so nice. Derek's pointing at Nancy. Did you not help? Nancy did all the work. Okay, fair enough. It's that season, isn't it? Everyone is busy putting up decorations, preparing for Christmas, getting together with friends and family. Don't know why everyone needs to get together before Christmas, but it always is a thing every year. Everyone needs to catch up before Christmas, so we're busy doing that. Buying presents, dreaming of the presents we might get, all of that is happening. And in the midst of all of that, it's easy to forget what Christmas is all about. A bit like Glenn was talking about with communion. Sometimes it's easy to forget the true meaning. So we're going to spend these next 4 weeks really wanting to go back and refocus on what the real meaning of Christmas is. Meanwhile, I did discover some fun facts about Christmas celebrations around the world, so I just thought I'd share these things. These are the things that Christmas is not really about, but they're fun anyway. So, Nigeria, apparently, they don't have regular Christmas trees. People decorate palm trees instead, which kind of works for, you know, their warmer climate. Maybe we should do that here. In Venezuela, apparently, it is customary on Christmas morning to ride roller skates to church. Love that.
And in Toowoomba.
In Toowoomba's a little hilly, I don't know. Although I do have to add a bit of a rider. This same website told me that in Australia, Santa wears board shorts and thongs all the time. So, you know, I don't know how true the roller skate thing is in Venezuela, but I so want it to be true. I really do. Anyway. But that is not what Christmas is all about. And so those of us who are talking over the next few weeks, want to invite you to be a bit countercultural and choose to find moments to slow down in this season and focus on why we celebrate Christmas, not the whole package deal that Christmas often is nowadays, but to get to the centre. Let's put the birthday boy, put Jesus at the centre, because it should be all about him, like we sang earlier. And so to help us do that over the next couple of weeks, we are actually going to spend time looking at just one verse from the book of Isaiah. It was a prophecy given about the coming of Jesus 700 years before he was born. It's a really well-known verse that you've probably all heard many, many times before. But hopefully, spending this time, 4 weeks, really focusing in on it, hopefully we'll mine some gold that is fresh and new for you. We'll see how we go. But before I jump in, it's helpful to have a bit of context around when this prophecy was given. So we know that whenever we look at passages from the Bible, it's very helpful and important to start off looking at where the original audience, who was the first people who this was written for. And in this case, it was it's in the book of Isaiah. So the prophet Isaiah received this prophecy and gave it to the Jewish nation, the people there. and it was 700 years before Jesus was born. And at this point, life for the Jewish people was pretty grim. They were divided into two nations. They had the Israel at the north and Judah in the south. There were lots of tensions between Israel and Judah. Things weren't great. And they were hemmed in on all sides, really, by some really powerful, big nations, Assyria and Babylon. And they were about to come in and sequentially dominate and oppress the Jewish people. So life was dark and grim. And in the midst of this, many people within the Jewish nation were really keen for God to come in and intervene, to release them from these oppressors. They were waiting for God to send someone to rescue them. And so it's into this that Isaiah is speaking this prophecy. So if we flip to the first slide, there we go. We're going to look at a couple of verses in Isaiah chapter 9. So it's all going to be on the screen, or feel free to go there in your phone, on your Bible, however you prefer. And this helps give us a bit of the context of what's going on. Isaiah 9 verse 2 says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." So there's this contrast between darkness, which is really what they're feeling, this heavy sense of oppression, and light, which is what the promise of the future is. I love that. A little interesting aside is that this is written in the past tense. The people have already seen a great light, and a light has dawned. And I think that speaks to the fact of how sure God's promises are. Even though this is a prophecy for a time in the future, Isaiah was so certain, and we can be so certain, that God is a God of his promises, that it can be spoken of as though it's already happened and is continuing to happen. That's really precious. I love it. So you may feel as though your life at the moment is pretty dark, and there are certainly aspects of the world that we can really think of as being in darkness at the moment. I'm sure the people in the Ukraine or in Israel or Gaza, or people who are trapped in the cycle of poverty, or many others, really have that heavy sense of darkness. And I know some of us carry that on behalf of others as well. And perhaps just life isn't great for you as well. And so you need to hear this message of light, and that God has this promise of bringing light in the midst of what can feel like dark and desperate times. So, what is this promise? Light. Well, that's a little weird. So let's delve in and find out what it means. So to find out what God is promising, we need to flip to the next verse, Isaiah 9 verse 6. And we're also going to read in a sec verse 7 as well. This verse, verse 6, is what we're going to be focusing on for the next 4 weeks, particularly those at the last part of it. But verse 7 is going to give us a little bit of context as well to help. So let me read Isaiah 9 verses 6 and 7. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end." Oh, I've just turned my... Sorry, I have just turned my iPad off. Pause. There, it's back. "Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." Sounds pretty good. So God is promising this end of war, this end of oppression and occupation, but not in the way that would be expected. It's quite unexpected and out of left field. Verse 7, it talks about him coming with justice and righteousness, not like the Assyrians or the Babylonians who came with violence and bloodshed and warfare, but instead God will come and bring his kingdom with justice and righteousness. And this kingdom will last forever. Nothing like this has ever happened before or will ever happen again in history. It turns history on its head. So this baby, this child, must be pretty amazing to be able to do that, right? It's to kind of change world events, a baby. So I think we need to focus on what this little person is. And so verse 6 is what describes that for us. There it is. Thanks, Chris. This as yet unborn child will be called a Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. There is a lot in there to unpack, and that's what we're going to spend time doing. So these are names that Isaiah has given to the coming Messiah, the one who we know will be Jesus, is Jesus. Names were really important in biblical times because they described something of the person or the place. Now, Hannah, I know you have a favourite piece of Bible named trivia. Would you like to share that with everyone? Here we go.
Thank you for this wonderful opportunity, Mandy.
It's a pleasure.
So,
can you stand close to Mandy so it picks up?
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
So, when Noah left the ark, he had three sons, and the eldest of them was named Shem, which is a name that literally means name in Hebrew. So Noah decided to call his eldest Name.
Yeah. So thank you. Thank you, Hannah. That's beautiful. I love that. So I think Shem is the exception that proves the rule. You know, normally biblical names tell us something about the person, but obviously Noah was feeling very uninspired about his firstborn son, and he got Shem. I was very excited because I found a little cartoon online, a Far Side cartoon, that depicts this really well. So it's in two parts. There we go. The names we give dogs. And so this bloke is introducing his dog to his friend. This is Rex, our new dog. But then the names that dogs give themselves. Hello, I am known as Vexorg, destroyer of cats and devourer of chickens. And the other guy says, I am Zornorf, the one who comes by night to the neighbour's yard. And this is Princess Shiwana, barker of great annoyance, and daughter of Queen La, stainer of Persian rugs. It's beautiful. So good. You know, those dog names tell us so much more about those dogs than just Rex, right? You know, Rex doesn't tell you a lot. Having learnt what they called themselves, I don't think I want any of those dogs as a pet, you know, once you learn a bit more. But, yeah, it was very helpful to get an insight into what those dogs are. And so what we're doing over the next 4 weeks is really doing the same thing. Hopefully it will be more enlightening and less scary as we learn the true names of Jesus, some of these names of Jesus. But we're going to learn much more about Jesus' character and what it means for us. And hopefully we'll be led to actually invite him more deeply into our hearts as opposed to these dogs who I want to keep at arm's distance. So the four names in this verse, they are promises of what the Messiah, what Jesus will be like, what the Saviour that our world will expect, that we can expect, the Saviour that we know. And so they form part of God's promise to Israel and promise to us of how he is going to rescue and save the world. They describe this individual who is far more than any human who has ever lived before. This isn't going to be some new and improved king to come and reign Israel. It's not like King Solomon 2.0. Because these words are usually used to describe God. And yet they're used to, in this case, to describe a human baby as well. So we have this joining together, this coming together of God and man in Jesus, in our Saviour. All right, enough intro. Let's dive in. This week we are doing the first pair of words, wonderful counsellor. Let's look at them individually. We're really diving really down deep, one word at a time, wonderful. So wonderful is used slightly differently in the Bible to how we would use it today. We might say that the coffee this morning was wonderful, I had a wonderful weekend, but it's something different in the Bible. It's not just something that's really good. When the Bible uses that word wonderful, it actually means something that is supernatural or miraculous, something that is straight from God. So I'm sure the coffee today was pretty good, but I don't know that we can call it miraculous. I don't know. You can, Laura's not sure, maybe. Anyway, I'll let you guys, we could argue about that later. So already from this very first word in this verse, we see that this baby is wonderful, is miraculous, supernatural, straight from God. The next part, the next word is counsellor. He is a wonderful counsellor. So what does counsellor mean? Doesn't mean psychologist. Jesus is not a wonderful psychologist. I bizarrely listened to an obscure sermon online where the whole sermon was all about how, based on this, was all about how Jesus was a great psychologist. And no, that's so missing the amazingness of what is going on here. Anyway, in the biblical context, again, we've got to look at what the name, what the word was used in the Bible. In the biblical context, a counsellor referred to like a wise king, or sometimes the advisors that gave wise advice or counsel to a king. And so there's this whole sense of big picture, statehood, amazing wisdom that is overarching and over huge things. And that actually makes sense. If we look at verse 7, if you can flip there, Chris, thank you, keeping you awake. This verse is really looking at big picture things, isn't it? It's talking about government, peace that has no end. This baby will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding justice and peace, and that it will last forever. So it's really big picture. So a counsellor has this really big, huge connotations. And when the people heard this prophecy, when they heard about this wonderful counsellor, their minds would have automatically gone back to King Solomon. Because Solomon was the king of Israel about 200 years previously, and he was incredibly well known, famous throughout the world for being a wise ruler. So he really was the epitome of a wise counsellor in the eyes of the people that received this. So I thought it might be interesting just to have a look at this guy, Solomon, and why he was called so wise, King Solomon. I'm going to read a couple of verses from 1 Kings chapter 4. You don't need to go there. I'm just going to read it out as a bit of interesting aside. But if you want to, I'm in 1 Kings chapter 4, starting at verse 29. It says, God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. Solomon's wisdom was greater than the wisdom of all the people of the East and greater than all the wisdom of Egypt. He was wiser than anyone else, including Ethan the Ezraite, wiser than Heman, Calcol, and Dada, the sons of Mahol. Pretty wise, yeah. Aren't you impressed? I'm impressed. His fame spread to all the surrounding nations. And it goes on a little bit and then finishes up with, from all nations, people came to listen to Solomon's wisdom, sent by all the kings of the world who had heard of his wisdom. So Solomon was pretty impressively wise. You know, he clearly had it all together. Can I even hazard to say that he was a cut above our current world leaders as far as wisdom goes? Yeah, I think so. Yeah. It was definitely a gift from God. In the verses beforehand, we see that Solomon asks for it and God gives him wisdom in abundance. So it is this gift of God, but it's still bound by Solomon's humanity. And that is where this new foretold and promised child will be different. Because Solomon wasn't described as a wonderful counselor. He was a wise king, a wise counselor. Only Jesus, our Messiah, has this wonderful supernatural wisdom. He will be miraculously wise. I wanted to spend a little bit of time looking at wisdom because this is what this is really all about. So the book of Proverbs, love Proverbs, it's crazily poetic and a bit peculiar at times, but it also has a lot to say about wisdom, like a lot. One of my favourite images is Proverbs 24, which tells us that wisdom is like honey dripping from the honeycomb, and it's like delicacies that melt in your mouth. I love that. Part of me has this picture of Winnie the Pooh with his big honey in the pot and just relishing the honey as the best thing in the world. Proverbs also talks about wisdom being more precious than rubies and gold and silver, and that nothing we desire can compare to it. So it's probably good for me to actually define what wisdom is at this point, having talked about it for a while. It's one of those words that gets kind of bandied around quite a lot. But nailing down a definition, I've done lots of definitions today, haven't I? This is kind of the talk of definitions. I've just realised that. So apologies if you're not into definitions. But I think it's really important for us to make sure that we're talking about the same things. Anyway, wisdom. I want to have a look at Solomon again. So we see something interesting if we look back at Solomon's story. So when Solomon became king of Israel, God said, "Ask me for anything." And Solomon's response, he asked for a listening or a discerning heart. That's what he wanted from God. And God's response was to give him his amazing wisdom. So somehow there must be this link between having a listening heart or a discerning heart and wisdom, because that's how God answered Solomon's prayer. A guy called John Piper, who's a theologian and preacher from the US, he's got this threefold take on wisdom. He defines wisdom as having factual knowledge, just knowing stuff, having situational insight, being able to see what's really going on at a time and place, and then also the necessary resolve to act upon that information. And N.T. Wright has something similar. He says that wisdom comes about by listening to God's voice, by discerning God's purposes, and by putting these into operation. And I really like that threefold definition of wisdom. I think that's really helpful. A wise person is someone who slows down, who turns to God, who listens for what God is saying in any particular situation. And then they have the courage and the resolve to act on what they feel as though God is showing them and telling them. So it's a listening and it's an acting, both. So wisdom's more than just knowing stuff, right? I'm a bit of a collector of weird facts. Those of you who have hung out with me probably know that about me. It's weird, some of the things that get stored up in my brain. But that does not make me wise by any stretch of the imagination. Just makes me a moderately interesting dinner guest because I come up with trivia. But not necessarily wise. You may also have run into people in your journey who hear from God in certain situations and hear from God quite clearly, but they don't act on that knowledge or use that knowledge wisely, which can lead to causing more harm than good. So that's not wisdom either. It's just part of the wisdom. something's missing. So I don't know about you, but I want this trifecta. I want to be better at hearing God's voice, at discerning his will, and then at having the courage to partner with God to bring his purposes into reality in the world around me. I want all three of those. Now, maybe you might be sitting there thinking, hold on, Mandy, this is supposed to be a talk about Jesus, wonderful counselor, and so you should be talking about him. It's all about him. Yes, you're right, absolutely. But the miracle of Christmas is that Jesus came down, fully God, came down to join us on earth as a baby, fully human, and then he invites us into his journey as well. He invites us to be his disciples, his apprentices. And so part of that is Jesus wants to give us his wisdom. And so that's what we're being invited into, being part of this incarnation of Christ's wisdom on earth. So where do we go from here? I think there's a couple of things I'd like to say. The first is that pursuing wisdom takes deliberate action on our parts. This is not a spectator sport. You can't just come and show up on Sundays and listen to me or someone else babble on and then go about your normal life and grow in wisdom. That's not going to happen. This is a journey that's actually not for the faint-hearted. To be honest, I think I only know a few people who I would call really wise. I don't know about you, but they would be numbered on one hand, probably, people that I would say, they are wise. And I know for each of them, their wisdom has been hard won. Most of them have had some really tough seasons in their life. And in those seasons, they've chosen to stop and listen to God, to see what he's doing, and they've had the courage to walk out what they feel he's asking them to do. So they've spent years, if not decades, pursuing God's presence and wisdom in their life. And so they've found wisdom. And I don't think there are a lot of shortcuts. Sorry, bit of a downer. But it's true. It takes work to find wisdom. If you want to grow in wisdom, to get better at hearing God's voice, then you need to make space for him to be able to hear him. God can speak to us in so many different ways, and it's different for everyone, right? If you feel connected and you hear God in creation, then take more time to go for a walk in the bush, just you and God. If you really hear from God in the Word, then take time to really mull over what's in here and listen to what God's saying. If you connect with and hear from God in worship, then plug in your favourite Spotify list and dance to Jesus in the living room. You know, we need to make time and space to hear from God in the ways that he talks to us. And then if you want to grow in this courage, that third part of the trifecta, to grow in courage to act on what you hear from God, just start with the small things. We learn that God's trustworthy by trusting him and acting on it, seeing him come through. So if you think God has been prompting you to send a message to someone or call someone, then step into that and see what he's going to do. Or to pray for someone, just do it, and he might heal that person or do whatever is on his heart to do. The second and probably the most important thing I want to say is that Jesus needs to be at the centre of everything. Our wisdom comes from the wonderful counsellor. All the treasures of wisdom are hidden in him, we're told in Colossians. We'll only find wisdom in him and through him. And God promises in James that if we lack wisdom and we ask for it, it will be given to us. That's a pretty good promise. We want wisdom, we ask for it, God will give it to us. Excellent. But having said that, that doesn't mean that we don't have to partner with him. We don't have to do some work as well. It's a bit like when you get up on Christmas morning and there are Christmas presents under the tree and your Christmas present is there waiting for you, but you need to get out of bed, which is sometimes hard work on Christmas morning, and go down and unwrap that present. So wisdom is like that. It is there, a gift waiting for us to unwrap if we've asked for it, but it is up to us to unwrap it. And maybe it's like a Lego racing car and we need to help put the racing car together. Yeah, that one was for you, Chris. All right, so let me wrap up. What are you willing to do to pursue wisdom and our wonderful wise counsellor this week? What's God inviting you into this week? Because if you listen, he will be inviting you into something. Is it going for a bushwalk, just you and God? Is it getting up a little earlier one morning and sitting with him and your beverage of choice for a while? Or perhaps God has been whispering to you about doing something and it's time to act on it this week. I want to take a few minutes for you to just sit and listen and hang out with God. Ask him what he wants you to do this week to pursue wisdom. Feel free to write it down. Put a reminder in your phone if that will help. Set your alarm for tomorrow morning if you're planning on getting up earlier, something like that. So let's spend a few minutes doing that and then I'll pull us all back together to wrap up at the end.
Wow, you made it to the end. Good job. If you want to listen to more of our messages, just search out Toowoomba Vineyard Church wherever you listen to the podcast. You can also check out our website at tvc.org.au and find us on Insta at Toowoomba Vineyard. We'll chuck those links in the notes so you don't have to remember. That's all for now. Hope you have an excellent week.